We are a week and a half away from the 2017 NHL draft, which means preparations are kicking into high gear. It's going to be a very interesting weekend in Chicago. Obviously, when it comes to the players being selected, we also know it's going to be a crazy weekend when it comes to other things happening around the National Hockey League. Looking forward to it. Calgary Flames pick at number 16. New Jersey Devils have the number one overall selection. Welcome back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you. It's time to take a comprehensive look at this 2017 NHL draft class. Every year we get the opportunity to do this, and every year we are very happy to do this. We welcome in the NHL Central Scouting Director, Dan Marr, who joins us on the South Street Burger guest hotline right now. Dan, thank you so much for doing this as always. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, no problem. What is this time like for you? Like, what are you up to as we move closer to the NHL draft? Is this kind of more of a relaxed time for you, or is it pretty crazy?
Well, just a week ago, we completed the NHL Combine in Harbor Center, Buffalo, New York. And there's a lot of follow-up that's involved with that. Just we have to verify the results from the test, make sure that the strength coaches have all their information at their disposal. There's a lot of follow-ups with the medicals. We make sure that that's available to the team's doctors and trainers in our electronic medical record system. And just getting the teams some additional information that they need to know prior to the draft with our pre-approval system for the player, so that when they go to select the player that he's in the system and there's no delays at the draft.
How has the combine evolved, Dan? And what is it to NHL teams now?
Well, it continues to evolve, and it actually is getting bigger and by all accounts better from the responses we get from the teams. As you know, it's three parts where we do the interviews, the fitness testing, and the medicals. And the teams really get a lot, the team personnel get a lot out of the interview process, because you can kind of get to match up the off-ice personality with the on-ice personality, get to know a little bit more about the players. The medical is the most important part, just to, you know, we're dealing basically with, you know, healthy young 17, 18-year-old athletes, but you just want to make sure that there's nothing wrong in the medical front, or get an update on an injury that players had during the course of the season. And then the fitness testing, they're tests that have been designed by the strength coaches, and it gives them an idea of where the player's at in his athletic development at that day when he's 17, 18 years old, because some players had just played in the Memorial Cup the week before. Some players have had a couple months off to prepare for the test, so they know it's not a competition where who's got the highest scores. It just gives them a sense of where the players are in their development and what they need to do going forward if it's going to be possible to make them bigger, faster, stronger NHL prospects.
Dan Marr's with us. He is the director of NHL Central Scouting, joining us on the Big Show this afternoon. Dan, the prevailing thought from the hockey community is that the 2017 NHL draft is not one of the stronger NHL drafts, but you have been keeping an eye on this draft class all year long. How would you describe the class of 2017?
I just feel it's a little unfair to this draft class, because you had two exceptional years where you've got Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, and Laine back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. And this year, the draft class at the top end isn't the same caliber. But still, there's a lot of players here that have the potential to be franchise-impacting players when they get to the National Hockey League. I think the first round is quite deep. It's just the nuance with this year's draft class is that during the season, they didn't do a very good job of sorting themselves out. So all the teams are looking at the players, and there are just a clump of them there. So the combine, their final meetings here, I'm sure there's a lot of discussion to try and put their list in the order for the draft. And likely on draft day, a lot of teams are going to get a player that they had ranked a lot higher from where their draft position is, just because these players, you know, it's a difficult job this year for the scouts to sort them out. But in that regard, though, the teams, they work hard at it. The scouts know their business there. Every team will be getting a player that they want and that they like.
It's funny because, you know, having gone to the last number of drafts and you know, doing the prep and talking to different teams, it seems like every year you find that, you know, one team to the next team, their lists are going to be so, so different because of the way they scout, their values, and just all that type of thing. But is this a year where maybe the divergence in lists is maybe as big as we've seen because of what you're talking about there?
Well, there are definitely 31 different philosophies in play, and nobody's going to give away their trademark, their secrets as to what they look for when they draft a player, to what their lists are. But I just know from the conversations that I've had with a lot of managers and scouting directors that, you know, there's a wide variance as to where some of these players should be on the team's list. So, again, I've been telling people, I think, you know, later on in the draft, you're going to hear a team say, we got a guy we had ranked in our top 10, and this could go well into the 20s.
Yeah.
It's just this draft class is deep in some first-round talent, but just going through them all, sorting them out, and then there's the variety of positions available, too. There's good players at all positions.
You mentioned pretty deep first round. How deep are we talking, Dan?
Well, almost to the end. I'm saying, you know, you can get right down to the guy that goes, say, at 22, 23 could be every bit as good as the guy that goes at 34, 35. And so far, 15, 16, the guy at 26, 27 could, you know, when you look 2-3 years down the road, you know, they both could be doing successful, or the guy that was taken lower in the draft could be doing better. You know, and that happens every year. I think just this year, there's the potential for a lot of these players to have NHL careers. So it may not be the strongest or deepest draft, but it could very well be a lot of players end up in the National Hockey League from this draft class.
In your opinion, and when we bring you on every year, you talk about this, and I'm always really interested to hear how it goes for you. Where do you see the ledges in the first round specifically this year?
Well, for us, it's a definite line after the first two players. They're both quality young men, quality players. They're going to be able to get to the National Hockey League sooner rather than later. And then after that, when I look just going down from our list, I'm going to say, you know, you can go like from 3 to 12, and it'll go in any order. But then... Once you go from there, I'm saying you can go from that 12, 13 mark all the way down into the start of the second round. And it's just, there hasn't been a great degree of separation. And it's the same thing when you look on the European list. Klim Kostin was identified as the top prospect, and unfortunately he had an injury-plagued season where he missed half a season with a shoulder injury. Didn't get to play, so he really didn't get to display the talent that he's projected to have at the NHL level. But when you go down the list there, I can go right down from 2 right down through 9, where the players can go in any order, but they all have a good chance to be taken in the first round.
In conversation with Dan Marr, he is the director of NHL Central Scouting as we get set for the 2017 NHL Draft. You mentioned the ledge from the first two players, and obviously Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. Let's start with how much or how little separation was there between those two players going into your final rankings?
It was Nico. There was a greater history with Nolan Patrick. We've known this player for 3 to 4 years now. We know what he's capable of. He certainly showed that as an MVP in the playoffs and leading Brandon to the Memorial Cup 2 years ago. And Nico, we were aware of him, but then when you get to see him play in CHL in Halifax here all year long, he closed the gap quickly and considerably. And, you know, for us, it comes down to a vote. When you have your meetings, then you talk about it and you throw it around, and it swings one way, it swings the other way. But at the end, Nolan always ended up on top But for Nico to go ahead of him, nobody would be surprised. You're basically at a 1A, 1B.
Okay, so we're talking about pretty close between these two players in your eyes. How much did this, it was not the year, whether it be due to injury or other things, that Nolan Patrick would have wanted. How much did that potentially hurt him in your evaluation, or had he done enough prior for that not to be that big a deal?
Yeah, it was just disappointing in that you couldn't get to see him play at 100%. There was no time during this year where he was at 100%. But injuries are part of the game, and you can go back and look at the draft year where Galchenyuk hardly played. And it really didn't impact his draft status too much because he was a known commodity. And Nolan Patrick, the teams are viewing him the same way. We have all the medical information and the records that's available to the teams, and I haven't really got a sense from anyone, as long as they know that he's healthy now and going forward, he's fine. I don't think it has any concern because he's such a well-known commodity for this draft.
What is your scouting report? How would you describe Nolan Patrick?
Well, with Nolan, you're getting a pretty complete package. The one asset that he has is that he can play the size strength game as well as play a skill game. He has a power forward game, and he's a front door type player. He just goes to the net, strong down low, cycling to the net. Very good playmaker and a heads up player. And he shows up when you need it the most, and he contributes when it's needed. So when you're trying to protect the lead, when you're trying to tie the game or trying to get a goal to get back into the game, he's a guy that can be out there and lead that charge.
And then Nico Hischier, and you talked about how well he closed the gap this past season. What was it that allowed him to close that gap so rapidly?
The word I use to describe him is he's just driven. He's driven to be first on pucks. He's driven to want to get to the net, want to get scoring chances. And it's impressive with the fact that he'll be the first one in on the forecheck with the puck, but then sure as heck he's going to be the first forward back on the back check. Just the way he approaches the game, the tenacity, the compete, and the drive, it makes him stand out. And then on top of that, he's got elite hockey sense. He's got a composure and a patience that's impressive in an 18-year-old. And he's got NHL skills. He can shoot. He can score. He creates scoring chances. So he's a pretty good offensive package, yet he's a very responsible two-way player.
Final thought on the top two. You know, in recent years, we've seen some pretty darn high-end talent come out of that Halifax Moosehead system with MacKinnon and Drouin. And like, what is allowing Halifax to turn out so many high-end and potential number one picks here?
Well, it goes back to the models: scout well, draft well, develop better. And they certainly have put their time in. I know Cam Russell has a staff there that they work hard and they do their homework. And in junior hockey, you know, doing your homework's half the battle there. They also had Timo Meier come up through there, Nicky Ehlers. Like they've really done a good job with their import draft, and they've done a good job on the home front with their scouting and their drafting. And you know, that's a model of success in junior hockey, because they really have to rely on their scouting and their drafting.
With Dan Marr, he is the director of NHL Central Scouting, joining us this afternoon on the Big Show. Want to get into some more specifics with you. A couple of guys that really are interesting to me. You have your third-ranked North American skater as Casey Mittelstadt of Eden Prairie in Minnesota. And I'm curious, with a player like that, you know, coming from a high school system, how difficult it is to translate him to, you know, what you see with players playing in junior hockey, specifically knowing he's coming from a very different level of hockey.
Well, this is a player. He's a late 98 birthday, so we've had an extra year of viewing him. He's been one of the top players in Minnesota high school, you know, since he was a freshman. Everyone has known that he's been coming through. We also had the opportunity to see him play in the USHL with Green Bay this year, where he got into 24, 25 games, and he was going at over a point a game clip, as well as play for the U.S. team at the Ivan Hlinka tournament and at various USA camps, USA All-American games. So we've been able to see him play against his peers in a lot of other venues versus just watching him play at the Minnesota high school level. So there's a comfort level in comparing him and ranking him. But the thing with Casey is that you get the same game from him, doesn't matter what level it's at. This is a dynamic offensive player. You know, everybody develops physically and they mature at different rates. Casey might not have the same experience levels in the games played as some of the players that are in major junior hockey, but when it comes to comparing them as players, what they bring to the table, what they contribute in the projection there, he belongs up in this top five group.
Your top-ranked North American defenseman is a Calgary product, Cale Makar, and a lot of people very excited to see where he might go. What are the attributes that led you to believe he is the top-ranked North American defenseman?
The thing that makes Cale unique as well is that he's playing in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. And again, you have to do the same type of analysis as we just described with Mittelstadt, and it's the same analysis in that he's the MVP in the league, he's the MVP in the playoffs, he's one of the top scorers in the league, and this is like for two straight years. And he really jumped out at scouts in the 2015 World Junior A Challenge that was held in Coburg. And he came on the radar then, and then he had a strong finish in his playoffs in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. So coming into the season, he was already a priority player, and then he just continued to elevate his play, continued to produce the same results. And when teams see that consistency in a player where he brings to the table the skating, puck-moving defensemen that are, you know, cornerstones to a lot of NHL franchises today. And just from the activity surrounding him at the Combine, and again, they played in the Royal Bank Cup. Just the groups that are following him, I'm not one to make a lot of predictions, but I'm pretty sure if there's going to be trades made in the first round on draft day, it's going to be teams trying to be in a position to have Cale Makar the name that they're looking at.
A lot of people are really, really in love with the high-end skill of Spokane's Kyler Yamamoto. You know, and you know, a lot of people say there's because guys like Mitch Marner and Johnny Gaudreau have been able to enter the NHL in recent years and have a lot of success, it might make Yamamoto more attractive as a first-round pick. How high-end a skill level are we talking about the Spokane player, though?
He does have elite skill sets. But the thing that stands out with Yamamoto it's the same with Robbie Gaudreau, is that this, the way they compete with their skill sets, and like, this is a kid that doesn't get intimidated by any situation on the ice, let alone not even talking size. He can go into the play, and he's got the ability to make things happen when you want things to be happening out there. He's got a finishing touch. He's got the hockey sense. He's a complete package. It's just a small package. But when you see a player, and you know, we've been watching him for 4 years, and he continually, again, he's one of these guys that gives you the same game. NHL personnel love that in a player where you don't have to go to a game, go looking for him. They just come at you in the games. And this is one of those young guys that deliver. He had a lot of meetings at the Combine, and I'm you know, almost 100% certain that everybody was pretty impressed when they met with him.
Just a few more for you, Dan. Dan Mars with us, the director of NHL Central Scouting. In terms of, you know, strengths from, you know, leagues and you know, from major junior to USHL, college, so on and so forth, any trends that you picked up on this year that maybe are different than other years?
Not Not really, other than the fact that, you know, we do feel this is a better year for goaltenders. And, you know, we think there's going to be a lot more goaltenders taken in the top three rounds than there has been in the past, just because of the depth there. With the defensemen, we're still finding there's a good variety of D-men out there. Just when you go through the ones we have in our first round, both in North America and in the international list, they all bring something a little different to the table there. But, you know, the team's got to decide which one is going to turn out to be the next Carlson or Letang, because those type of D-men are certainly available in this draft class.
Expand, if you will, a little bit on the goaltending. You know, what makes this year a little bit better when it comes to goalies?
Well, it's just these things go in cycles. It's, you know, it's less than one goalie per year taken in the first round for the last decade, and I don't even know this year if we're going to have one in the first round. But, you know, we've got a couple of candidates in North America and the European side that could be eligible for it. There's no real rationale to explain it, other than the fact that there's a number of higher ranked goaltenders here, and they come from all over, in the high school, in the college, USHL, all through the Canadian Hockey League.
And final question for you, Dan, and I do appreciate the time. And it just comes, you talked a little bit about the European list. I'm curious, because, you know, we don't get an opportunity to see a lot of these guys as much. What type, when it comes to the European skaters, what type of talent are we talking about there? How many potential first-round picks are we talking about coming from your European rankings?
Because this year is so difficult to project, you know, we could have up to 9 or 10 go in the first round. But again, it depends, because of the team, different teams' philosophies here. That's really, really hard
right
to project, because we have a pool of players. There's like 45 players that could go in the first round. So again, though, there's a variety of players there. There's a couple defensemen, Heiskanen and Liljegren, and even a third one I throw in that mix, Brännström, that the teams are, you know, I can see teams stepping up in the draft to select these guys. So it's going to come down to the teams, where they're at in their draft philosophy, what they're looking to get out of this draft. And you hit it on the head a little earlier with one of your comments, in that the skill, and in particular the hockey sense, they really factor into the draft more so than any of the other intangibles, such as size or position. And, you know, a lot of teams made a lot of good picks later in the draft just by sticking to drafting skill, and it pays off for them. So that the emphasis is certainly there, and the calibers of players are certainly available in this year's first round.
Dan, really appreciate the time. I know it's a busy time for you, so thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Thanks so much for the insights on the 2017 NHL Draft.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You as well. Dan Mars, the director of NHL Central Scouting. He joins us on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, introducing the Barbecue Bacon Burger, 100% Angus beef with real cheddar, jalapenos, and 40 Creek whiskey barbecue sauce. Better burgers, fries, and shakes.